star. That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. In this whole situation, if you profile innate immunity, you will see patients, and it gives you a step-by-step sequence on what to do. In all of these things, it's not necessarily important that you know about enzymes like MASP2. I'm just telling you there is such a thing. There's no good commercial assay for them. But real issue is that we know that sequentially interleukin 1 beta rises in 12 hours after exposure. In 24 to 48 hours, leptin is rising. Remember I told you, cytokines cross blood-brain barrier, block the receptor for leptin. Leptin doesn't work. Leptin resistance is indicated by rising leptin. So you'd expect it, 24, 48 hours, and that's when it shows up. Then I told you MMP9 is a good indicator. That is going to rise after there's been gene activation of cytokines. There's a lag period of time before a message gets across from pattern receptors to the nucleus, cytokine genes go up, and now we see changes in MMP9. It's a downstream event. What we're really looking at, I saw a mention to bleeding problems. I'll just tell you that the bleeding problems in these patients are due to definable problems in von Willebrand's profile. You will see low levels of factor VIII as an acute phase reactant, but then you will see this big deal. The risdiplam-associated antigen is going to be low in your critical bleeders. And what happens is that C4A blocks what's called the multiplication of von Willebrand's profile, von Willebrand's factors. So you're trying to make a plug, a platelet-associated plug. You don't make this polymer because of high C4A. You have too little risdiplam-associated cofactor to begin with, and people bleed. 5 minutes? Okay. Specifically, when we look at the bleeding, it is not a small amount. It's interesting, in two of the biggest studies done of acquired von Willebrand syndrome done out of Italy, the researchers there found 10 cases in literally 200,000 patients. And when we looked at my first 600 patients, I found 15. When your children start having nosebleeds, they may be picking their nose, they may not be. It's easy enough to tell. Just do a simple von Willebrand's profile. In patients like this, you will see coagulation abnormalities like crazy. Do not be diagnosing von Willebrand syndrome if you haven't controlled for C4A. This is acquired von Willebrand's, and they bleed. I already told you about some of these different issues. Full treatment protocols are in a book, Mold Warriors. I'm not trying to push that book. It is available in libraries just about everywhere now. The protocols that I use are available on two websites, biotoxin.info and chronicneurotoxins.com. And all I can tell you is just don't make assumptions. The one thing I want to just leave you with quickly has to do with the cognitive issues. We can now use magnetic resonance spectroscopy, and we can measure a variety of chemicals in frontal lobe and hippocampus in an idea to see, is there a problem with capillary hyperperfusion as far as information coming in, frontal lobes, and information being stored? And the answer is yes, indeed, you can. And what we want to look at in these patients with cognitive issues is we look at six different symptoms: executive cognitive dysfunction, difficulty of recent memory, concentration problems, word finding, difficulty assimilating new knowledge, confusion, disorientation, and we correlate that with elevated lactate levels. That tells you that oxygen delivery is impaired. And if you've got elevated lactate levels in four areas of the brain, what you will see with that is a reduction of the ratio of glutamate, which is an excitatory neurotransmitter, compared to glutamine, which is inhibitory. You should have a ratio of about 2.25. That ratio is impaired, and in your patients with high lactate, you will see suppression of those. In fact, control levels of these abnormalities out of eight possible are 0.9. The innate immune problems in your patients with cognitive issues, it's 5.2, and after treatment, we can bring them down to 1.2. So we're not saying that you're going to get cured. Basically, we can correlate the MR spectroscopy findings with the ERMI test, the fungal DNA test, and it's highly accurate along that way. So the real issue is that in mold, as well as these other illnesses, we can use clear mechanisms to show how the illness begins and how it continues. I do apologize for using a lot of jargon.